Well, today's message, it's going to be a personal message, but it's also going to be a message that I feel like is for the body of Christ as a whole. You know, to the person that has accepted Jesus in their life and they're walking this walk with life or with Christ and they're doing life with God. So it's a message for everyone, but it's a message specifically towards people that accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So along the walk with Christ, as you guys might know, you guys are seasoned Christians. You know, sometimes you put on a coat of shame. I use the example of coats. Like, we're walking along with God, and sometimes we have, like, we put on a coat of insecurity. We're like, oh, snap, like, God, I didn't realize I was insecure in this area, or I didn't surrender this area to you. Or we have unforgiveness, or we have shame, guilt, condemnation. Like, you guys resonate with that? Sometimes, like, you're walking, and you're just carrying stuff that you shouldn't be carrying. Today, I want to talk about a super, super simple message, but it's super, super powerful once you dissect it, digest it. It's forgiveness. So the power of forgiveness. We all know, like, Jesus's mission was to restore the relationship back to God, right? Jesus came on earth, died a sinless life to restore relationship with the Father because we needed an atonement for our sin. So the only way relationship with God and man was to be restored was through what? The forgiveness of sins. So if God himself has seen that there needed to be forgiveness for our sin, how much more do we need to learn and understand that we need to learn to forgive others, forgive myself, maybe sometimes even forgive God? You know what I'm saying? Does this make sense? So if it was highlighted to God that there needed to be forgiveness for sin and, you know, wrongdoing, how much more is it for us as people that are imperfect? A perfect God died on the cross, yet, and he knew there needed to be forgiveness. But we are imperfect people walking our life with God, and we need to forgive others. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't look at you and save you for 95% of your sin or the things you did wrong. He forgave you for everything, every single thing. Past, present, future, he forgave you for everything. So this aim, again, is it's more towards, okay, like us as Christians, we sometimes put on a coat of unforgiveness towards a family member, a relative, friend, the person that cuts you off on the way to church this morning. We tend to carry unforgiveness, and we don't realize that a lot of times that the things we're praying for, the things we're asking God for, is actually waiting for you on the other side of you forgiving that person. I'm not saying it's like a transactional thing where you go to God and you're like, hey, I'm gonna forgive this person and he's gonna give you this blessing from heaven. No. But again, when Jesus forgave you, he forgave you for everything. And if you believe in this truth that he forgave you for everything, it's gonna radiate off of your body towards other people when someone wrongs you. Does that make sense? So that's where we're kind of headed. We're going to be reading out of Matthew 6. And if you guys want to open up your Bibles, I'll give you guys a second. Get some brownie points for having your physical Bible here today. So let's go. Raise your hand if you guys carry your physical Bible. Hey, front row, fourth row, let's go. Back row, let's go. So Jesus is all over Matthew. He's all over the New Testament. We're going to read a little bit of context in 6:5, and then we'll get to the main verse that I want to highlight today. So the model prayer in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by man. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So we're reading verse 5 where, you know, it says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. You shall not go and show this thing that you aren't at all. You know, like if I come to church and the only time I pray is at church, I'm a hypocrite. Because this ministry here should never become bigger than the ministry at home. That's what Jesus is trying to target at. He's trying to target at your heart. He's trying to target at the area of that you have lack in. And he's not mad at you, but he's convicting you. He's like, hey, like, I love you so much. I want to get to know you deeper one-on-one. And coming to church and worshiping and praising him is all good. But if you're only doing that, you get your reward from man. And Jesus wants to give you a reward. It says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So what does that mean? That these people that go out and worship and pray, they get the reward from man. But it begins the question that God, or it gives the other side of the coin, says God wants to give a reward. So do you want a reward from man or do you want a reward from God? This is the recipe for you right here. It's teaching you. It's a heart posture. There's so much more of Christ that you can get to know in your secret place, knowing his heart, versus receiving the praise from man for, wow, this guy's so awesome. He worshiped for 45 minutes with his hands up. He didn't even open his eyes. Like, no, Jesus is like wanting to encounter you on a deeper personal level where things around you start to change because you start to really encounter him. Does that make sense? So verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So again, the other side of the coin. God wants to give you a reward. The reward may not look like a financial blessing or this brand new car that you just won in a giveaway. Simply, the blessing could be your family member just got saved. Or the person next to you got so encouraged by how you worship and they see that you have a relationship with God, and the relationship with God begins in the secret place. They get there and they get encouraged, like, wow, like this person's going through that, but they still love the Lord. How much more can I get into relationship with him to be at that same place, or if not further? Because it's, again, it's relationship with God. It's relationship with God that's God's calling us to. So verse 5, it teaches us not to be seen by men, because, you know, you desire their approval. If you're, I call it ego prayer or ego worship. You're like, yes, God, woohoo, you know, you're up there. That's what verse 5 is saying. Verse 6 says, you know, it teaches us to go into our secret place where you're one-on-one with God and you spend alone time with him. Verse 7 teaches us not to pray repetitions. This will save a lot of people, I think. Don't be an orphan praying to God. A lot of times we go to God and we'll go to God, we'll do a mistake, and we'll be like, God, forgive me for my sin. And God's already sitting there. He's like pointing at the cross, like, you're kind of wasting breath right now because you're already forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do. Like, it's good to have conviction, and it says to confess your sins. Confess your sins to one another. A lot of times we could be praying for someone else's salvation or breakthrough and reminding of ourselves the blood that was shed for us on the cross. And so we come to God, we're like, oh God, please forgive me for this sin. God, please help me out with this. God, please, if you give me money, I'll serve you. Like, no, it's the heart. You get to know God's heart, who he is, and naturally you want to pray for others. Naturally you want to minister to others because of that's what Jesus did. He came to serve, not to be served. As one thing I was praying probably in the last month or two, I was like, God, like, I was coming in with an orphan mindset. I was like, God, help me out with this, you know. I've been walking with the Lord for 6 years and I'm like still sometimes praying like this. I'm like, God, help me out with this, help me out with this. And God's like, serve and pray for others. You want something from me? Help others. I'm like, oh, okay, shoot. I need to serve more, do more, because that's what Jesus did. The reward isn't in the thing that God gives you. The reward is him. And when you gravitate and live in Christ, you live in the abundance of what God wants to give you in your heart. There's a reason why there's a verse that says, seek first the kingdom and all the things will happen, or all the desire. I forget. What's the second part of the verse? I forget. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. I was going to say all the desires. I was like, I don't think it's desires. That's bad. Seek first the kingdom. And that looks like seeking Jesus in secret one-on-one, which is a common thing I talk about, but learning that that relationship is the pinnacle of your faith. There's nothing greater, better than that. So this is why I say it's like tailored towards the body of Christ, because those that aren't in the body of Christ, or those that haven't accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior yet, they just haven't got this truth revealed to them. But we have once had a moment with God where we've encountered his love, and he calls us to deep, deep, deep. He calls us into more glory. He calls us into more relationship. Through whatever the situation is, he calls us into a greater love in him. So the area where I really want to focus on today is just two main verses. Let's go to 14 and 15. I'll let you guys read 9 to 13 when you guys get home, but you guys should also have that part memorized, because Jesus is teaching us that's the model prayer that we go and pray to God with. And it's very powerful. I think naturally, after you understand what he's teaching in verses 9 through 13, you start to have natural prayers that align with what he was teaching, if that makes sense. But we'll go to 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Did you guys read that? 14 to 15. So if you forgive people, you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive people, you probably won't be forgiven. It's kind of weird, because you're like, whoa, like, I thought I was forgiven and justified by the cross. This isn't in question with your salvation. Don't get this wrong. Your salvation is bought by the blood of Jesus, and there's nothing that can separate you, but there's literally nothing that can separate you from his love and separate you from the cross once you've accepted him. This is teaching you forgiving other people when they have wronged you or done wrong in your life. What is Jesus teaching in Matthew 6:14? Jesus is teaching that the evidence of the faith that you believe in Christ is reflected through how you forgive and when you choose to forgive. So how are you forgiving people around you when they've done you wrong? Like, I think, again, easiest thing is strangers, people around you, someone that cuts you off. Like, those people are fairly easy to forgive, but how are you forgiving your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad? Like, how are you coming to forgiveness towards them? And are you even going to forgive them? You know? There's countless times that I don't want to forgive. Honestly, I live in the flesh and I'm like, I don't want to forgive this person. But Jesus, I get to my prayer closet and Jesus is like, you want my presence? You want me? You want me to come closer? Let me highlight the thing that you did wrong. Go talk to her. Go talk to your sister. Go talk to your brother. And it's always the family. It's always the family. Not that my family is like super bad, but it's always the family. Does that resonate with you guys? You guys probably might have siblings that you're like, man, it's so hard to forgive this person. They stole my toy when I was a kid and I can't forgive them. You know? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But let me highlight this. So the evidence of your faith in Christ is reflected through how you forgive and when you choose to forgive. How quickly you want to forgive. What God has done to you vertically, so me, I got saved. God's up in heaven. I'm down here. What God has shown me and revealed to me through his son, Jesus, his love and mercy, vertically, it shows up horizontally how I treat people and how I forgive people and how I love people and how I do life with people. So the evidence of this relationship that I have with God here is shown directly through here. If I don't believe in a real, real God that forgave me for my sins, I'm not going to forgive you for lying to me or hurting me. Forgiveness becomes visible evidence that your heart has truly encountered mercy. I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness becomes visible evidence that your heart has truly encountered mercy. Again, when Jesus forgave you, he knew all of your dirt. He knew of everything in the past, the thing you'll be going through right now. He knew of your future. Everything was washed by the blood. Everything. Through forgiveness, there are countless things that we can look at. Ultimately, the cross screams forgiveness. I'm harping on forgiveness and forgiveness, forgiveness, because I don't want to tell you 50 different things that you guys won't understand. I want to get to one little thing, understand this truth, live in this truth, and apply it into our life. And then next week, when next pastor comes and preaches, you guys apply that understanding as well. Like, that's the whole point of this pulpit. It's to literally have things like ammo to go throughout your week and understand, how can I apply more Jesus in my life? That's the whole goal of this. It's not because someone's special. It's to just show who Jesus is. That's the goal. So the cross itself screams forgiveness. Again, if God knew that there needed to be forgiveness for sins, so he sent his son Jesus, how much more do we need to forgive others around us or the situations that have happened in our life? You can't look at that cross and not see forgiveness attached to it. So I have three things kind of noted. Is this making sense? Am I going too fast, too slow? Okay. I have three things noted, and there's probably a million things that we can talk about, but I'll have three things. When we choose to forgive, we choose to partner with what God says and think of the person, no matter how wrong that person may be. So when we choose to forgive someone, we partner with what God says over that person. And if you don't forgive that person, we ultimately partner with the other side of that coin, which is what the devil says about that person. You guys understand that? So if someone says something wrong about this person and I'm like, oh man, like someone says something wrong and I still forgive that person if they said something wrong, because the power is for me in my, the freedom is found in me and my peace, not to hold on to grudges about what people say about other people. I just still forgive them because I understand at some point in my life, I needed forgiveness and I still need forgiveness. But at some point in my life, the truth of the blood of the cross came and was revealed to me. And I realized, dang, I need forgiveness because I am a sinner. And sometimes when people don't forgive other people, they don't recognize or realize what the cross is for them. And our job as bystanders is to forgive that person even if they're in the wrong. Because forgiveness, a lot of times, it's for the other person, yes, but a lot of times forgiveness is just for you. Because if you hold grudges towards other people, you're going to live on a false identity towards a person and partnering what the devil says versus what God says over that person. And that's how the devil sneaks his way into churches or friend groups or whatever. When there's gossip and you don't stop the gossip, or when there's talk and it's wrong and you don't stop it, the devil sneaks in slowly but surely into those rooms because you're not partnering with what God says over a person. So what we do is we forgive the person, even if they're wrong, even if they said wrong things towards us. Jesus got so many things, literally beaten on him, said about him, spit on him. All he did was serve other people. All he did was help people. And what did he do on the cross? One of the last few things he said was, "Forgive them, Father, for they do what they do not understand." How powerful is that? He's to the point of death where he has the humility to say, "Father, forgive them." He's begging for forgiveness on the cross. It's crazy. That's our standard. Jesus is teaching us that. Forgiveness. And he's showing it physically, and he's voicing it publicly. But we don't want to forgive our siblings. So it's kind of a convicting word. You know, it's hard. I understand it. It's hard. It's hard to be humble. It's hard. But if you're living in the spirit and not by the flesh, when you're living and holding Jesus' hands throughout your life, it becomes impossible not to forgive people. Because again, that's Jesus. He forgave the whole world. So first thing, when we choose to forgive, we partner with what God says about that person and not what the enemy says. Second thing is we allow healing and restoration to take place in our heart. Once healing enters the heart, it flows into our mind, our soul, then physically. You start to see relationships being restored simply because you forgave. Sometimes it just takes one little moment of forgiveness and sympathy and love towards a stranger or a person, and that will domino effect into salvation in their hearts, which ultimately matters. You're not going to get to heaven. Like, my mom just recently passed a couple weeks ago, and I know for a fact my mom did not go into heaven and saying, like, man, I wish I'm holding on to this unforgiveness that this person has against me. No, definitely not. First off, she's laying flat face looking at or down on their face with Jesus. She's not holding on to this unforgiveness towards other people. So why would we hold on to unforgiveness towards others here? Or why are we not forgiving others here? So if you forgive others, like it says in scripture, I'm not lying to you, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. That's so good. It's literally a life hack. God's like, I don't want to hold this thing against you, but if you're holding something against other believers, I'm going to hold it against you. I have to, because that's not me. Does that make sense? So when we allow healing and restoration to take place in our hearts, it flows into our mind, our soul, and then physically, people will naturally see it through you, in you, with you, because Jesus is now living in you. And then third thing I have is we make room for future miracles to take place in our midst. Once we go through getting squeezed and apologizing and forgiving, and Jesus does a soul work in your heart, it's very, very easy to walk around and have miracles and signs and wonders happen in your life simply because of the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And people look at you and see the light, and people want to repent, and people want to change because they see that they were in the total wrong place, did the total wrong thing, and in a place where you probably, the world would scream, don't forgive. You've been justified to not forgive. But Jesus sits there and says, I forgive you. You have the same call, same duty to do here on earth. Again, the further you walk with God, the further you walk into knowing Him, the more you want to forgive. I have a couple stories. One that was actually literally happened to me last night, which we'll get into, but there's one story I had where when I was younger, I was kind of like, I was a little bully, but I also got bullied. So it was kind of weird. I like got bullied at like second grade, third grade, and then third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, I became a bully. It's so weird how that works. And I remember I got saved at 19, and I was like, you know, just doing my day-to-day thing with God, just spending time worshiping, praying, and going to the gym, just like simple life, right? And I remember God's like, the guy you used to bully in third, fourth grade, call and apologize. And I literally called, tried many times. I was like calling his number, calling his parents' company's number. And I'm trying to like get in contact with this person. And I didn't have the chance to apologize, but I forgave him in my heart, honestly. And God taught me in that moment that the closer I walk with Him, even things from third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, He's going to remind you of and show that there's this area that the enemy still has a hold on you because you have unforgiveness in your heart. And I want to have you flourish. I want to have you live a life here on earth with blessings and more of Jesus's presence. But you need to let go of this thing that's not from me. So I apologize spiritually, you could say. I never apologize physically, but I tried. And that's where I passed my test. That's the thing with God. There's countless tests, trials that I say that God gives you. That if you just passed that test, and if you would have just humbled yourself, or if you would have got to the right lane with God, again, your prayers, there's a good chance they might get answered. Blessings will be in your life. I say this, your breakthrough's on the other side of your forgiveness. The unforgiveness you're holding on, let go of that. Even right now, there's probably people that you're getting highlighted in your mind, a man like, I have unforgiveness towards this person. That's the Holy Spirit working. Hold on to that person. Even you can even text them right now and say, I forgive you. Or even be more personal and go on and apologize to that person. Say, hey, I was really hurt here. And I know I was not wrong. Or I was not wrong in this situation. But apologize. Jesus was not wrong. Jesus was not wrong at all. And he still forgave those. So how much more do we need to forgive? Again, I'm harping on the same point, but it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Because there's future miracles waiting on the other side of our forgiveness. This is what forgiveness will do. Forgiveness will cost you your pride. Unforgiveness will cost you your peace. You guys get that? Forgiveness will cost you your pride because you can't forgive somebody and be prideful. It doesn't work. Jesus is not like that. Unforgiveness will cost you your peace. You'll wrestle with the rest of your life having unforgiveness. There's even a thing called regret. This kind of goes hand in hand with forgiveness. You can live a life either dying to the pain of discipline, let's say like going to the gym. You have this goal of going to the gym and you're like, yes, I'm gonna do that. And one or two things is gonna happen. 30 years down the road, you're gonna be happy that you actually achieved your goal and you worked with discipline and you got to the goals that you wanted to. Or 30 years later, you're gonna have the pain of regret looking back of what I could have done. You don't want that pain of regret. That pain of discipline, it's painful, sure, yeah, but it's not as bad as that little voice telling you, I regret this. With my mom, after I got saved, God really restored my relationship with my parents because I was a prodigal son and yada, yada, yada. And I'm an answered prayer from my mom. She prayed for me at all times. She was a praying woman. And I knew since I was a kid, I'm like, I'm the youngest of six. I'm probably not going to have my parents see my kids. I might not get married and they might not meet my wife. So I knew this reality growing up. And she passed just recently. And I can say I have no regret with her. I loved her so much. And I showed that with giving with flowers, with just showing up at her house, just spending time with her. Because I knew someday I'm going to have this little voice in my head telling me, you regretted not spending enough time with your mom. Or, good job, you went all out. You did everything you did. You left yourself empty. And I don't have like these thoughts anymore. I don't have these thoughts of you didn't do enough. I'm set free. Like I live in peace because I knew at some point I want to show my mom as much love as she's shown me. And so I realize this and I remind myself of Jesus. I'm like, how much more with Jesus is God calling me to be more closer to him, to be in union, to be in relationship with him? How much more does he love me? So I'm like, man, I want to pour out everything I have to Christ. Like worship sessions, I might be the only one, or not the only one yelling, but I might be like screaming and off tone, worshiping, singing. I really don't care because it's to him. It's to the Father. And I have access through the blood. It doesn't matter. I don't care what people around me think. This guy's probably tone deaf, probably screaming in his ear to the right of me, you know? But it's this mercy that the cross has shown me that I can't go back to the old ways of old flesh, old man, because of this love. And I want to pour myself out. I want to empty myself out to Christ because he's worthy of it all. That's how it should be. Does that make sense? So I'll go back to that point. Forgiveness will cost you your pride. Unforgiveness will cost you your peace. A lot of times people say, well, it's so hard to forgive. Well, it's funny. A lot of people quote, I can do all things through Christ, when there's a big trial across their, like, I have to go hit this PR. I can do all things through Christ. Or, you know, like people are just like using the scripture, which is good, but they're like not utilizing it to even something as small as forgiveness. It's like, you're so confident here, but use this application of the verse, I can do all things through Christ. Okay, God, I'm going to forgive this person. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Utilize that scripture for that. Yeah. We always want to fight the big battles, but we don't take on the little wars. So take care of the little things. God wants to propel you further than you've ever been. And it takes a matter of surrendering, humbling yourself, and being like him, and letting people step on you. Who cares? Let people step on you. Jesus, again, like, we don't have to get into that, but we know what happened to Jesus. Getting stepped on a little bit, or someone saying something towards you, who cares? They're trying to mess with your peace. My peace is eternal with Christ. There's no reason for me to get bothered by what people say or do. Amen? Amen. Forgiving someone isn't easy. When it's done with Jesus, it becomes simple. The amount of times that you ask Jesus for forgiveness, did his response change? Think about it. For the times that we come like an orphan to Christ, like, Lord, forgive me, which, again, I'm glad you're going to God and asking for forgiveness. You should. But did his response change? His response never changed. He just wants to hug you and love you and speak a better word for you. And people a lot of times want to change on their own. They know of God, they experience him like this, and then they walk out of this love encounter with God, and then they, you know, start to do things on their own. That's where they put on shame or condemnation or guilt. And it's a walk with Christ. Like, again, it's, you know, you carry your cross. I understand. But carry it with Jesus. He's already carried it to the final destination. You might as well partner and carry it with him. He knows the way. So when you ask Jesus for forgiveness, did his response change? The answer is no. He just hugs you. But there will be a day, the day of judgment, where God either is going to say, I knew you, or depart from me, I do not know you. So you need to make sure that you put this first. Your faith is in Christ. It's cool to be Christian. It's a trendy thing. You know, Christianity's on the rise, they say now, which is amazing, praise God. But how is your faith when it's really tested through valleys? How is your faith when it's tested through mountains? I've been saying it over the last four sermons, and it's funny, I'm like, dang, my mom passed away. Statistically speaking, this is the hardest thing you should be going through in your life. And I'm like, man, like, this is tough. It's not easy, but I see how the prayers of people and where my faith is rooted in. I'm like, dang, God, like, I'm literally held by you right now. That's the only answer. Because I would be a crazy person. I'd go back into my old ways if my faith wasn't in you. So I'm like, praise God for you. And I know it's not me. That's the beautiful thing. It's not me. So when Jesus died for you, he died for everything. He died for everything. If we want to get someone on the keys, that'd be nice. But I remember I went to an encounter about 2 years ago or 3 years ago at our church. And I was just going, honestly, just to like go through an encounter and just spend 3 days with Jesus. That was my goal. I didn't have any crazy sin or situation that I needed deliverance from. I just wanted to spend time with Jesus. And I get there, and on the pamphlet that we have, there's like seven areas of your life that there's sin or things that are dwelling in. And one of the things that I looked at, it said forgiveness or unforgiveness. And I was like, I'm good. I forgive everybody. I love everybody, you know? And then, you know, that little, still, very loud voice in your spirit says you have unforgiveness towards your sister. And I was like, whoa. I have a sister that's been through far worse things than I have been through. And Holy Spirit highlighted to me, like, you have unforgiveness for her because this and that. And I was like, dang, you know what? I forgive her. Like, thank you for highlighting this to me, Holy Spirit. I forgive her. I love her. She's my sister. That's not going to change. I don't care what she does. She's my sister. I love her. So I write down, and I go get prayed for. And I think the next day I come home, and it's 12:30 at night, and my sister calls me out of nowhere. She doesn't call me like this. I kid you not. She doesn't call me like this ever. She calls me, and she's like, hey, can you give me a ride from Seattle? I'm working here, and I don't have a ride. Like, the bus station has, like, the bus left. There's no more buses tonight. I'm like, oh, snap. Of course, I'm coming. So I drive, get there in 20 minutes, and I start feeling like, whoa, this is kind of like supernatural. Like, this is different. You know, like, why? And I'm in the car, and I'm testifying to her about God. I'm like, Dina, like, I love you so much. You're my sister, but this is what God's done over my life 3-4 years ago when I fully encountered him and loved him. And I'm just testifying, talking about a real God to her. And I'm just planting the seed, and I'm evangelizing. And did she give her life to Christ that night? No. But it was a supernatural divine appointment that God allowed me to plant a seed for her. Evangelism doesn't look like always you're going to go talk to someone, they're going to get encounter God, and you're going to lead them through the cross. It's not always going to look like that. Evangelism looks like planting seeds and then having the Holy Spirit water it. And through prayer, you pray for those people. And so it's just super cool. Through my unforgiveness that I had towards somebody like my sister, I get this opportunity to minister and show Christ to her. I'm like, wow, God, you're so good. When we choose to forgive, we choose to partner with God and the life that he speaks over an individual. But when we choose unforgiveness, we choose what the devil says about that person. And we're Christians. We're called to love. We're called to be like Christ. And it simply starts with, you know, having forgiveness. So if there's individuals in here that, there might be three groups I think I have in here that will resonate with everyone, I believe. When I was speaking, I feel like there's people that, they're strangers that you can have unforgiveness towards, coworkers, even friends. That's group one. Group two is maybe it's your cousins, brother, sister, parents, one parent. And the third is God. I would challenge you in this moment, find one person to forgive. In that group, wherever you are, let it be personal. Let it be real with God. Let it be real with that person. Let Holy Spirit minister through you. You know what? The very recent passing of my mom, I had a choice. Hold on to unforgiveness towards God and giving my hurt. And God, you're the reason for my pain. Or I can sit there and say, thank you so much, Jesus, for the life that she lived and the mother you gave me. And that's the route I choose because I want peace and I want Jesus. And I can't go to Jesus if I have unforgiveness towards other people. Or I won't say I can't go to Jesus when I have unforgiveness. I would say it would be harder to get to deeper measures of God's presence if I have unforgiveness towards other people. Ultimately, there will be a day when someone, you know, close to you passes. And you'll have a choice to either live with unforgiveness towards that person, regret towards that person. Or you'll have a choice and be like, wow, I'm so thankful that I did everything. I poured out to this person, to this individual. Little fights with your wife don't matter. Humble yourself. Fights with your siblings, they don't matter. Humble yourself. You're a Christian. Let Christ humble you. The last story I want to share is, that's so funny. Last night, I'm driving into apartment complex, and there's a car in front of me, and I'm in the middle, and there's a car right behind me. And the first car, I like unlock the gate. First car moves in, and it stopped right in front of the gate for like 10 seconds. And I just happened to be the middle car that's stuck between the gate, and there's a car behind me. And sensors on the gate, they only work when there's motion. And I'm parked for 10 seconds because of this chicken in front of me. And I'm like, man, what are we doing? Like, come on. I see the gate closing. I'm like, no. Hits my car. I'm like, oh God, come on. Honestly, I was just kind of shaken up because I was like, wow, like this could have been so avoided. But I pull over, I take a video, and then I'm like, all right, for insurance reasons, I'm taking my phone out. I'm going to find whoever this person is. And I found out there was like a little party going on, and I go there, have my phone recording everything, and just start talking. I'm like, hey, I don't want to take this through insurance. I don't want to go through anything. Like, honestly, the damage wasn't that bad, but I'm like, this is still damage that I didn't cause. And this is not my fault because I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. I can't go left. I can't go right. This gate hit my car, and it's because some person in front of me decided to stop. And so I talk to this person, and it becomes a scene, honestly. It becomes like commotion. Like the grandma, the mom, the owner of the house comes out. I'm like, oh my goodness. And you can hear like there's a couple people there, like, you know, they want to hurt me. They're like literally saying things about me. Like, I will beat your, you know, I'm like, oh, like this is far worse than it needs to be. I'm trying to have peace. And so I get to a point where they finally see my side of the story because they were so defensive. And the owner of the apartment, he's like, all right, everybody go. You go, you go, you go, you go, you go. You're not helping. And it's just me and him talking. And I'm like, honestly, dude, I forgive you. Like, it's not your fault. You didn't do this. I'm sorry for the headache. And he's like, you know, he's opening up. He's like, I don't even know who these people are. They just came here to visit me. It's my birthday. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, dude, I forgive you. It's fine. It's not even your fault. I don't want to have any issues with you guys. It's a little scratch on my, like, headlight. Like, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, I'm preaching tomorrow. I want to get my head in the headspace. I want to go into the sauna. I just want to spend my time with the Lord. And he's like, oh, you're a preacher. And then he starts opening up and opening up. And then this dude's looking me directly in my eyes. And he's like, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. I want to kill myself. The only reason why I'm here is because my family's here. He's opening up about deep, deep seeds that the devil's put into his mind. And it only opened up to me because I chose to forgive him. If it wasn't for the love that Jesus showed me, and if I hold on to it for the rest of my life, I'm going to be living a life just gluttoned and holding on to Jesus' truth. But Jesus calls us to go out and deliver the good news. You encounter him, you get filled up with him, you walk with him, and things like this happen. This dude starts repenting in front of me. His eyes look at me. He's like, dude, you look like him in dreams. Like, it's you. It's you. I see you in dreams. I'm like, whoa, this is not me. Like, he's like, you're an angel. What's your name? This, I'm like, no. And some people might say he was trying to butter up that we don't have, like, you know, so there's no issue. There's nothing to be paid out. But there's no way you can fake cry for 25 minutes like he did. Just tears whole time. Praise God. Yeah, give God a shout. Give God a shout. Hallelujah. So this dude just opening up, and I'm just encouraging him, like, Jesus just loves you. Whether you choose today to follow him for the rest of your life and sin no more, or choose today and continue to sin, Jesus has the same exact response to you. I love you, no matter what. And I'm like, that truth will change you. Hold on to him. And so when I'm literally writing the sermon, I'm like, man, your breakthrough, someone's salvation, someone's miracle, something's on the other side of your forgiveness. I mean it. This thing is real. And we choose to either give unforgiveness power, or you choose to give power to forgiveness. And power and forgiveness is only found in the cross because of Jesus. It's not on your strength. It's because of Jesus. So let's stand. If you guys have, you know, someone highlighted in your mind, or there's a situation that you are in, or whatever it is, and you guys want encouragement and you guys want to have some prayer, have someone lift you up, I encourage you to come to the altar. It's not because we have special team that can pray for you and through them just crazy things happen. It's no, because it's Jesus living on the inside of us. We've been healed, we've been restored, and we love the Lord. So if you guys feel like that tug is in your spirit, and this whole entire time I was speaking, there's someone highlighted to you, there's a situation, come forward. And if you don't, praise God. The whole goal, again, is just to show another side of Christ. Because when you came to Jesus to repent for sin and ask him for forgiveness, he forgave you for everything. So we as Christians are called to do the same. Forgive others. There's power in it. There's breakthrough in it. There's Jesus in it. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are. There's nothing, no situation that can take away who you are, Jesus. You're Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and end, God. And I glorify you, Lord, for who you are. Jesus, I just ask this week, today, highlight to us, God, people that we need to forgive. Highlight to us areas that we are have compromised in, God. Maybe we have unforgiveness towards you, God. Teach us to deal with that. One-on-one, God. Lord, I pray that you fill us up with your presence and your spirit, Lord. Remind us of the words that you've spoken of us. And teach us Jesus in this moment, God. That's the beautiful thing, God. When we forgive others, when we do things like you, Jesus, we feel what you felt. And it's beautiful, God. We get to know you on a deeper level. So, Lord, we pray for breakthrough for people. In their mind, in their soul, in their spirit, Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, you give them the peace, give them the power, give them the grace, Lord, through your spirit, God, reveal to them a deeper understanding of the cross, Lord. So when life happens, Lord, we cling on to you and not life. We cling on to you because you're worthy of it all, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, I love you. You're the best. I just thank you, Lord, for everything, God. I just hold on to you because you are my papa. We all love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we say, amen. So that's it. We'll see you guys next week. We got life groups on Wednesdays. And then Thursdays, we got Awaken Night once a month. So get plugged in. Don't do life by yourself. Amen.